Ian spoke last week about Jesus' grievance plan. The plan that Jesus had as to how we should deal with differences that arise within church, but also it applies outside of church as well. I wasn't here, but I have read Ian's script attentively. But I find myself thinking that even if we follow that grievance plan, when we follow it all the way through to the end, we can still find ourselves with a slightly bitter taste in the mouth, can't we? Because of what somebody has done. And so that's where forgiveness comes in. You follow the grievance plan, but you have to make a decision as well to forgive, and you have to act on that decision. It's not by any means easy. Some of the things that people do, we say to each other, that is completely unforgivable. But I want to challenge that thinking today, and I want to see if we can get to a place where we can actually forgive the unforgivable. Sounds like a nonsense, but stay with me. So what is forgiveness? Thomas Watson, the 17th century English nonconformist Puritan preacher, in his book The Body of Divinity, was challenged to answer the question, when do we forgive others? And he said this, the words are up on screen now. So it's, we forgive others when we strive against all thoughts of revenge, when we will not to do our enemies mischief, but wish well to them, grieve their calamities, pray for them, seek reconciliation with them, and show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them, to do them good. Now, I appreciate that this can be a massive, massive challenge. But I love this passage because it is all rooted in Scripture. So let's just take that writing and look at it one bit at a time. So we achieve forgiveness when we strive against all thoughts of revenge. This comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 19, where it says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. We achieve forgiveness when we will not to do our enemies mischief. This is Thessalonians 5:15, where we read, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. A huge challenge, massive, massive challenge. We achieve forgiveness when we wish well to our enemies, when we wish well to those who have hurt us. Luke 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. We achieve forgiveness when we grieve at our enemies' calamities. Proverbs 24:17, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. And golly, isn't it human to wish somebody to stumble when they've hurt us? We achieve forgiveness when we pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your neighbour and pray for those who persecute you. I think this one is particularly difficult. Seek reconciliation with them. Very, very difficult. And it needs to be taken in context. It doesn't mean you have to love them, that you have to be best friends with them or anything like that. But we have to not seek any further damage. Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's that peace, isn't it? Shalom, the peace of the Lord which passes all understanding. And if you can gain that peace, even if it's just internally, by forgiving, then you will be in a better place. We achieve forgiveness when we show ourselves ready on all occasion to relieve our enemies. Exodus 23, verse 4. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. It's a little 7-point check. I wouldn't say that we can all manage all of them. I fail. But it's maybe a yardstick that we can use to see how we're doing. Forgiveness is not, and this is important, forgiveness is not the absence of anger at the sin. Anger is right, can be righteous anger. It is not giving permission for the sin, it's not excusing it, allowing it. So anger is allowed. Nor is forgiveness the absence of consequences for sin. The wages of sin is death, says the Bible. A prisoner must serve his jail sentence. That is part of the restorative justice system that we have. Forgiveness is often seen as a sign of weakness, but I want to challenge that because I think it is an incredible display of strength. Stories of people to whom horrendous things have happened, who can forgive. And you look at them and you think, how could they do that? There was a story which I was trying to find. I couldn't find the details of it. It's a story of a South African lady whose son was killed during the apartheid era. And as the son's killer was being sentenced, the judge asked if she had anything that she wanted to say to the court. And she said yes. Said, I want this man to come and live with me as my son. To spend Christmas with me. To celebrate my birthdays with me. The judge freed him to do that. I think about that woman, I think, how could she forgive him, forgive that killer, and take him into her family? Amazing strength. That's not a solution for everybody. Of course it's not. But if we can forgive, it is incredible strength. And the thing is that unforgiveness is a trap for ourselves. When we hold on to something, it churns away inside us. I don't know if you're like me, when something happens, quite often think, chunter, chunter, chunter. And actually, I'm just cheering myself up. And the chances are the person about whom I'm thinking these rather unholy thoughts probably knows nothing about it. So actually, I'm making a prison for myself. The recent church massacre in Charleston, I think, was an amazing event which sprung to mind this morning when the gunman burst in and killed however many people. And yet, the family members and the members of the church came out immediately in forgiveness. And what everybody thought would be a terrible escalating series of tit-for-tat attacks was cut off by the power of forgiveness displayed by those people. In Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, can you remember what happens to the unforgiving servant at the end? You remember the story. The king forgives the servant his debt, but the servant does not forget, forgo the debt owed to him by another servant. The unforgiving servant is brought back before the king, and Matthew says that the servant was handed over to torturers until his debt be paid. And that's what we do to ourselves. If we hold people in unforgiveness, we hand ourselves over to torturers. We torture ourselves. Now, it's all very easy for me to stand here and say that. We could have the next slide in, continuing our theme of wheels. And we have the wheel of forgiveness here. Now, the mind, emotions, and the will. The mind dictates our thinking, the emotions, our feelings, and then our will become our actions. Ian showed a slide last week, this one. The lady in front, presumably, or I don't know which way around it was, has just been cut up, or whatever this incident was. The thinking is, someone has done me wrong. The emotion is anger. The action is violent. They followed round that circle. What we need to do, it's not easy by any manner of means, we need to cut across that circle. We need to cut out the emotion side of it. We need to cut through from thinking to action without letting our thinking be filtered through our emotion. Very, very difficult. But think of our first reading, Jesus on the cross. Thief on either side. What does he say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I can't imagine the strength that that took. But he knew that that was what was required. Nelson Mandela knows, or knew, a thing or two about forgiveness, and he, in his book The Long Walk to Freedom, comes up with this wonderful quote. He said, forgiveness is power. It frees us from our past, overcoming every evil. It can heal both the person forgiving and the person forgiving. And the person forgiven. In fact, it could change the world if we would only allow it to flow through us unchecked. But how often we stand in its way, not daring to unleash its power. We hold the keys to forgiveness of our hand in our hands, and we must choose whether or not to use them every day. I think that last bit, every day, is crucial. People often think that if we forgive somebody, that's it. Job done, once and for all, it's over. I don't believe that's correct. I believe there are some things that we have to choose to forgive every single day. Day after day after day. But if we can do that, then the day will go better for us. I wanted to mention very briefly unforgiveness of self. Self-unforgiveness. If you have done something and you think, I really can't bear that. There's a story of somebody who felt they had done something completely unforgivable. And there was a lady in the congregation who was known to hear from God in a very powerful way. And this person said to the lady, next time you're talking to God, will you ask him about what this thing was that I did how many years ago? And the lady said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And the next week, back in church, the chap said to the lady, what did he say? And she said, God said it doesn't matter, he's forgiven you. The man was holding himself in unforgiveness. God had forgiven him. If God forgives us, and Scripture tells us time and time again that he will, who are we to hold ourselves in unforgiveness? By doing so, we put ourselves above God. I've been talking so long, my telephone's gone to sleep. It's not easy. It really isn't easy. I know it's not easy. I know in my own life it's not easy. And I'm sure for many of you it's not easy either. Can I encourage you, though, to try it? And I found in my own life that it's very powerful if I speak out forgiveness by an act of my will with somebody else. So if you're struggling with something, can I suggest, find somebody who you can talk to about it. There are people at the front, at the end of the service, who will be delighted to pray through stuff with you. Give it a whirl. Think about that wheel of forgiveness cutting through from the thinking to the actions. Try and leave the emotions out of it for the time being. And let God work in your heart. Amen. Amen.